The following audio is from White River Christian Church. More information about White River is available on the WRCC mobile app or at wrcc.org.
So good to be here. My name is Derek. I am the cafe pastor, and it's just a privilege to kick off the Christmas series this week. Excited about that. We got the trees up, got the lights going on. I'm just grateful for people who know how to do this stuff because, FYI, I did not decorate these trees. I know you're thinking that, but we have some great people that decorated these trees and took care of all this, and people that set up and tear down this place every week. So let's thank God for them. My gosh. I always try to remind them that's just as important as anybody up here on stage or anything else, because it just does not happen. We'd be all sitting on the floor, and that would be a little crazy. So, hey, let me pray for us as we get into this morning. Father, thank you for this good day that you have made. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here with us this morning. Father, we just pray that you would just speak through me, Lord, whatever you want to say today, God, and speak through your word and help us to hear you clearly, and God, that our lives may be transformed and just that we may follow you even more faithfully today. In Jesus' name, amen. Way back when my wife and I were engaged, many years ago, I was finishing up college, and she was going to go study abroad in England and for a couple, 3 months, and I remember that very vividly. I remember driving up to O'Hare International Airport with her mom and dad and dropping her off there at the terminal and watching her out the window as the big jumbo jet rolled away, having no idea what it was like to be out of the country. At that point in time, I'd never been out of the country. And I was in Walton, Indiana, just milling around with a bunch of farmers, so I didn't know what was going on there. But to watch her leave in that airplane and then waiting to hear she had arrived safely, waiting to hear that first call from her, that would end up getting us in trouble down the road with phone expenses, but that's another sermon for another time. And then waiting for her flight to arrive back home after those few months, waiting and watching for her arrival back home. Most of us have spent some time waiting on something to change in our lives, something significant to take place. But waiting is not an easy thing to do, is it? God really worked on me this week with this waiting thing. I was actually waiting on something to come in the mail, and with President Bush's funeral and whatnot, the mail got delayed, and I kept waiting and watching for the mail to arrive. And 12 o'clock passed, 1 o'clock passed, 2 o'clock passed, 4:45, the mail came the day that I was waiting on it, and my package still wasn't in there. So I was really struggling and wrestling with this waiting piece, waiting on something to arrive. It's not an easy thing. Our society knows that waiting is not easy. We have Amazon Prime, right? 2 days? 2 days shipping. You know you got it. Cancel it next week. Just kidding. All right, Fast Pass at amusement parks. Fast Pass, right to the front of the line. We don't have to wait on that. Self-checkout stations at the store. Guilty as charged. That's all I use. All right? I love people, but just quicker. Fast food. Christmas decorations going up earlier and earlier. Normally, it's a rule around my house. It's after Thanksgiving. I broke the rule. I apologize. It was 50-some degrees, I think maybe a day before, and I put the lights up. So, all right? Sue me. Okay? But it happens, right? Earlier and earlier. It's the Christmas season. How many of us have ever had a hard time waiting for Christmas morning to arrive? Huh? 1983. Movie hit the big screen, A Christmas Story. All right? And guess what I wanted for Christmas, like every other 12-year-old boy? The Red Ryder carbine action blue steel air rifle, right? Absolutely. That Christmas was very difficult to wait, especially after you saw the movie and all that good stuff. The anticipation was full of wonder. My grandma and grandpa, Grandma Imee, we'd go there on Christmas Eve. And Grandma Imee would make a big meal. We had Italian-German combo going on. I mean, this meal was incredible. I mean, I still can taste it right now, like the different dishes that she made. She was a master at that. And then my grandpa Frank was the master of wonder. All right? So he had a string of bells that he would all just disappear during dinner, and all of a sudden we hear these bells outside the window, jing, 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 you know, and we see lights going up along in the through the window. I'm like, whoa, what's that, you know? And then he had this magic ball here. I don't even know what this thing is, but it's silver and sparkly, and he rigged it up somehow, and it makes a You hear that? A bird sound. And so he would hide that in the house somewhere. Drive you nuts after a while. He would hide that in the house somewhere, and we'd just be wondering where the thing was at. And just, I don't know what it was. It just filled the place with wonder. So we come home, we drive home from grandma and grandpa's, and us kids, I remember having seatbelts weren't a thing back then. I don't know if you knew that or not. They are today. You should definitely wear your seatbelt. But then we had our heads back in the window like this, looking up at the sky for, you know, Santa or Rudolph or whoever, whatever. And we would wake up early, Christmas morning, 4 or 5 a.m., just drove my dad insane, 4 or 5 in the morning, and I waited for everybody, all the other gifts to be open. And then my dad, in beautiful movie form, said, "Hey, I think there's one more over behind the chest over there." I'm like, "What?" And I go over there, and there it was, the Red Ryder carbine action blue steel air rifle. And I didn't shoot my eye out, thankfully. But it was there. There was really wonder in the waiting that Christmas. How about you? How about us? How do we find ourselves waiting with anticipation for Christmas this year? This season of Advent ushers in a time of waiting, right? And I kind of did a little study on this word waiting, what it actually meant. Seems simple and familiar, right? But it actually comes from a root word that means to watch. To watch. We shouldn't separate the waiting from the watching, but in our world today, we definitely do that. We think of waiting as just meaningless activity, just kind of sitting around twiddling our thumbs and, you know, doing nothing, wasting time. But to wait for the Lord truly meant to wait and watch with anticipation what he was going to do next. So not talking about twiddling our thumbs or meaningless activity, talking about more like something waiting for my daughter to get home from a date type of waiting, okay? Yeah, that happens in our house now. So waiting for her to get home from a date. It's just not meaningless time. I'm watching the clock, all right? I'm looking for car lights coming around the corner, looking for that reflection in the mirror. Waiting and watching. You know, I think about the father waiting for his lost son in Luke chapter 15, verse 20. We know this passage. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. Now that is a different kind of waiting. That is a different kind of waiting on somebody. And as we enter into this Advent season, these 4 weeks of waiting and watching, reflecting back to the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who was, and also orienting our hearts to the promise of his return one day. Advent is all about this time in between, all right? This time of waiting, of yearning, anticipation of the promised coming Messiah for the people of Israel. 400 years pass between Malachi and Matthew, between the Old Testament and New. 400 years between Malachi and the birth of Jesus, waiting and watching in silence. Do you feel the discomfort in that? The pressure? The anticipation? 400 years of waiting and watching for the Messiah, with only these prophetic words from Isaiah to hang on to. Isaiah chapter 9, "Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine." Christmas is about Christ's coming. Not just that he came over 2,000 years ago, but that he is promised to come again. And what's happened already gives us hope that the not yet will happen as well. This morning, I want to look at a familiar passage in Matthew chapter 1, if you turn there with me, of how Jesus came to us. Now, this time, I'd like to look at this and observe it through the lens of Joseph. Let's look at it through his eyes today. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. What the angel says here to Joseph is significant for us to hear as we wait to see how God's plan is going to unfold. Essentially, the angel is saying, don't be afraid. Change your plans. Put your hope in Jesus. Joseph is presented with this life-changing, game-changing decision. And how does he approach it? How does he respond to this significant event as he waits? He was engaged to be married to Mary. And engagement, in the New Living Translation, it mentions engagement. The NIV, it says pledged to be married. But in the ESV, it says that he was betrothed to Mary. And this is significant for us to understand what this means, to be betrothal in the Jewish culture. First thing is, parents found you a spouse. It was an agreement, a contract, a marriage, agreed upon, legal binding type of thing, where you're married, but there's a one-year period. You're a husband and wife, but there's a one-year period where you don't live together, and you show purity toward one another. And at the end of that, there's this huge wedding celebration where you march from the wife's house to the husband's house, the marriage is consummated, and voila, great celebration of marriage. Not quite how things worked out for Joseph. Not quite what he was anticipating. From Joseph's perspective, he finds himself in a very difficult situation. Mary's found to be pregnant during that 1 year of purity, had to be at least a few months into it, and it's definitely not his child. His credibility is on the line, his family name, his whole life in the community in which he lived and grew up is in jeopardy. He had to feel tremendous pressure to do what the law required, which we find in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 20. And he had every right to do it. It says this, "But suppose the man's accusations are true, and he can show that she was not a virgin," which obviously he could. "The woman must be taken to the door of her father's home, and there the men of the town must stone her to death, for she has committed a disgraceful crime in Israel by being promiscuous while living in her parents' home." Make no mistake, this is a far cry from a betrothal celebration parade. But he did have the promise of the Holy Scriptures. He had the prophecy from long ago, which is found in Isaiah 7, verse 14, 700 years before Christ came. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Joseph is a good man. I think we need to take that away from this passage. Joseph is a good man. Joseph says Joseph was a righteous man. He was right with God. He was a good man. And so he waits, and he considers his options. And then he decides to break the engagement quietly, to not disgrace Mary. He brings no accusation against her, essentially spares her life. And as he waits, he continues to contemplate the situation, and the Lord intervenes. An angel shows up in this dream to confirm Mary's words are true. Verse 20 and 21, "Joseph," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus." Joseph knew this to be true from the prophecy. He looks back to the promises of God to find the hope and courage to move forward. So when he wakes up, he does as the angel commands. He immediately obeys the Lord. He's immediately obedient to the Lord. And Joseph's response, I think, demonstrates how we are to wait and watch for the Lord to work in our own lives. How do we respond to life circumstances when life throws us a curveball? This is a major curveball here. This is a high hanger. But how do we respond? Do we try to hurry up and fix it? And I mean, he definitely could have done that. Let's make this right. Let's figure this out. Let's make him, you know, think it's mine. Whatever I need to do to save our life, our reputation, all that. But he didn't. He waits on the Lord. Over 40 times in the Psalms, it talks about waiting. I love the Psalms and the Proverbs. I probably said that before, but just as I'm reading another book of the Bible, I'll try to walk through the Psalms and the Proverbs day by day, and just so much encouragement and just promises and strength from that. So listen to some of these Psalms that talk about waiting. Psalm 5:3 says, "Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you and wait expectantly." Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." Psalm 62:1 says, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him." And one more passage I'd like to share with you. If you would turn with me to Isaiah 64 and verse 1. It talks about this waiting. Isaiah 64, verse 1. Isaiah 64:1 says this, "Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down, how the mountains would quake in your presence, as fire causes wood to burn and water to boil. Your coming would make the nations tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. And oh, how the mountains quaked. For since the world began, no ear has heard, and no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him." No ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. How is the Lord prompting us to wait and watch as we draw near to Christmas? How are we preparing, anticipating, waiting for the coming of Jesus next time? Remember, Christmas is about Christ's coming. Christ who came over 2,000 years ago, and the Christ who will come again as he has promised one day. The first time he came as a lamb. Next time he comes, he'll come as a lion. First time he came silently. When he comes again, he'll come with a roar. First time he came, the world barely noticed. When he comes again, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Zechariah 14:9 reminds us that the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and his name alone will be worshipped. So a question for us. What would it look like if Jesus Christ was coming again in 3 weeks? As we enter into this Christmas season, 3 weeks from now, we celebrate the Christ who came. What it would look like if Jesus Christ was coming again in 3 weeks, that should be our posture entering into Christmas as we move toward Christmas this year. If we lose that sense of anticipation, that eagerness of waiting and watching for the Lord's return, we handicap our faith and begin to turn our eyes back to the things of this world. We try to grab onto everything that we can right here and right now because we've lost that sense of anticipation in our life. And we forget about the hope that is still to come in eternity with Jesus. Listen to the anticipation in the midst of waiting from this passage in Romans chapter 8. If you turn there with me, Romans 8, verse 23. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Romans 8, 23. "And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Waiting patiently and confidently for God, for Jesus Christ to come again. The next 3 weeks of Advent, we have the opportunity to reflect back and celebrate the arrival of Jesus, the light of the world, Emmanuel, God with us, in this divine moment that we celebrate each and every year. What happened over 2,000 years ago, but also to reorient our hearts toward what is yet to come in the return of Jesus. I wonder how we'd respond to these divine words that Joseph received from the angel. From what he heard from the angel, don't be afraid. Change your plans. Put your hope in Jesus. How would we respond? Think about these statements and think about which of these statements really touches your soul deeply today. Which one really connects with you as we walk through these three things? These three distinct statements. These words that Joseph heard from this angel. Don't be afraid. Angels always show up this way, this normal angel greeting. I can't imagine what that must have looked like or felt like. But don't be afraid. Joseph had plenty to be afraid of otherwise. His wife's pregnant. Family future in question. Family reputation is on the line. What fears do you have this Christmas? It's kind of weird to be talking about that in Christmas time, but what fears do you have this Christmas? Maybe it's as simple as saying Merry Christmas. I'm afraid to say it. I don't want someone to think weird of me or awkward of me. I'm worried about it. Maybe you're fearful of risking a friendship, inviting somebody to come and join you, to enter into a spiritual conversation with somebody, or inviting them into your worship space here at White River in the cafe and to be a part and to sit around the table with you. Maybe that's something that you're afraid of. I don't want to lose them as a friend. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. We have the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that lives in us. There's nothing to be afraid of. God wants to use you. He wants to speak through you. He wants others to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and for their lives to be transformed just as ours were transformed. It's not for ourselves. This is a gift that we have to give to others. Don't be afraid. What about change your plans? That's a big one. I don't know about your calendar, but my calendar's boom, 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 especially in December. You want to do something with me in December? Forget it. It's already booked. So, December, change your plans. Joseph had many plans just like us. Hey, I'm going to get married. I'm going to do this right. I'm going to celebrate with our loved ones. But his plans were not God's plans. Listen to some of these passages in Proverbs 16. Some of these passages I had back in my sales years, I would take sticky notes and stick them on the dashboard. And these are a few of those from that. Proverbs 16:1 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. Verse 3 says, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. And verse 9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. So again, this is not this waiting. Don't think of this as waiting as, hey, I'm just not going to make any plans because it says the Lord's going to determine my steps anyway. So I'm just going to step back, twiddle my thumbs, and wait aimlessly. That's not what we're talking about here. This is waiting and watching and anticipating what God is going to do next in our lives. And that waiting and watching is active participation. He's given us a great mind to use, and we can make plans. But our plans are not always his plans. And we need to be open to where he is leading. So what plans do you have already this Christmas that maybe need to be changed? Are you open to changing them? Ask God this question. How do you want to change my plans these next few weeks? You know, we all have our traditions. We have our ideas of what we want to do. But God, what do you want me to do? That's a big thing, just a statement to make as you have your conversations with the Lord each and every day in prayer. God, who do you want me to be? What do you want me to do? How do I celebrate Christmas this year differently? What do I need to change in my life? Maybe this year needs to be less about presents and more about his presence. Maybe Christmas needs to be less about your celebration and more about the anticipation of him coming. Again, waiting and watching. The last thing is put your hope in Jesus. And I have to believe that Joseph, being a righteous man, knew the scriptures. He knew the promises God had made. He knew the prophecy that was foretold 700 years before Christ and had an impact on his next step. And Jesus came into this world just like he said he would. And he's promised to come back again. And that is where our hope is found. This hope, biblical hope, is not just like an optimistic thought. Like, man, I really hope he's coming back. But he's promised to come back again. And this hope is with a great anticipation to wait and watch for him to return. Choosing to do that. God's past faithfulness gives us hope for the future. Don't be afraid. Change your plans. Put your hope in Jesus. Joseph had to be wondering, for what? For what? And I think the ultimate beauty of God's plan, this was God's plan unfolding. Joseph was just being obedient to it. His plan's unfolding, and it comes full circle in Matthew 1, verse 24 and 25. Listen to these words. Verse 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And here it is. And he named him Jesus. And Joseph named him Jesus. Luke 3:23 says, when Jesus was about 30 years old, when he began his public ministry, Jesus was known as the son of Joseph. Joseph had the privilege and honor of naming him Jesus. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God is with us. What an amazing moment for this righteous, good man. What an honor and a privilege it must have been. Christmas is about Christ coming, that he came over 2,000 years ago, and that he has promised to come again one day to bring his church home. Let's look at one more passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself, verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves, and together with him, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. As we wait and as we watch for Jesus to come back again, with as much anticipation as we wait for Christmas to come this year, encourage each other with these words. I love burning wood fires. I don't know about you. I have a wood stove in our house, and I love going out and getting some. Well, I don't love going out and getting the wood necessarily, but that's part of it. So you go out and get the wood, and you freeze, and you come back in and get the fire going, and hopefully the wood's not too wet, and I set the kindling in there and all the paper stuff, all that in there, and then light the thing. And you got to tend to this thing or it's going out. I mean, there's really no one else in my family. I just talked to my son about helping me with this yesterday. Like, can you like help with this thing? Like 90% of the time I'll get this thing going. I'll go and, you know, do some dishes or go upstairs and do something or move on to the next thing. I look back, I'm like, is the fire going? He's like, no, it's out. I'm like, geez, come on, man. Help me keep this thing going. But you're always waiting for this kindling to keep rolling. You're watching with great anticipation for this thing to start roaring up and nice and warm and crackling to be heard and smells of fire and all that good stuff. It's just a great thing. But once it gets going, it's the best. This Advent time is a time to rekindle our fire for the Lord, to rekindle our fire for Jesus to come again, to long and just anticipate this waiting. And wait and watch well for the Lord to come again. I want to close. I'd like to close with this prayer that my wife gave me this past week. And I think you'll be blessed by it. And it talks about the waiting. It's from Emily Freeman. And it's called A Prayer for the Waiting Time. And it says this. In the beginning of Advent, it's the beginning of Advent, and we confess our anxiety. Hope seems to have thin reins this year. We want this season to be different, simple, meaningful, but we have our doubts. Though we admit we don't feel joy or gladness, we refuse to shake the I told you so at our own soul. Like your people did for 400 years of silence, we wait. We obey the calendar and wait, not with tapping foot and huffy breath, But we wait with open hands and willing hearts to experience the truth of the gospel in our everyday lives. We will fight this year, not for meaning, for magic, for perfection, or even for simplicity. Rather, we will fight to remember that you have come, that you are here, and you will come again. May we hear your silence as kind company rather than as rejection. May we see our sorrow and grief and our difficulties as they are without trying to extract meaning or closure before their time has come. May we give sadness room to breathe even as we wait for the joy to come. The world was broken, and you could have sent a doctor, a soldier, or a king. But instead, you sent a baby. You arrived small. You looked different than we thought you should look. But still, you came. Help us to remember that in your kingdom, the answers we think we want don't always show up in the ways we'd expect. Like the shepherds who followed a star to a stable, maybe we'd be willing to believe the unbelievable. May we remember who we are in your presence. Our doctor, our soldier, our king came disguised as a baby. May we behold the mystery of your birth with resurrection eyes. Christ has come, and Christmas is about that. The Christ who came and will come again. And my hope and prayer for each of us is that we would be waiting and watching with great anticipation this season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you for your word that encourages us and reminds us that you have come. And we celebrate that with great anticipation this Christmas season. We also anticipate and wait and watch for your coming again. God, let us not grow weary in this time, but let us draw near to you and embrace your love and your presence alongside of us, Father, as we wait for Jesus to come back and bring home those who have given their lives to him. Father, please lead us. Help us to be faithful and obedient as we walk with you, to know that your ways are not our ways and your plans not our plans. Let us be open to changing the plans that we have so that your plans may be completely fulfilled in our life. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.